Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and Talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning, High Desert. It is Regina and Roxanne,
hello,
and we've got an exciting conversation that we're going to have today. And this gentleman has done 30 years plus of service, especially in the fire.
And local government.
And he's here today specifically to talk to us about the Brightline Project. I am so happy to welcome Mayor Pro Tem Art Bishop to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, and good morning to both of you, young ladies.
Thank you.
Yes. So we want to jump in because I know this is a huge project, a lot of information. Our listeners really want to know the real fundamentals of this project, Art. And so if you can kind of maybe give us a little bit of history, because I always think that's important to know where something evolved from or how it got started, right? If you can give us just a little bit of that history, and then we'll dive into asking some of these questions that I know are on the top of the mind of our listeners.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, ladies, for allowing me to be here to talk about a subject that I'm very, very passionate, and you're going to learn very soon why I'm so passionate. So you're absolutely right. Actually, almost two decades ago, the concept was of the train from Los Angeles to Las Vegas was a father and son idea, and it was called Express West.
Right.
And they had come to the High Desert to try to sell a program. A couple of the cities, i.e. Victorville being one of them, really, this was a great idea. It's going to be a boom and a benefit. Unfortunately, a lot of things changed politically, and it sort of dropped off to the side. And then in 2019, a very young company called Brightline, which was a company on the East Coast, which had started the first private rail line from Miami, Florida, going up ideally to all the way to Orlando, which they're now in. And they sent out letters to all the mayors in the High Desert saying, would you please come to Florida, let us show you what it is that we would like to do and see, you know, if you would like to participate and how you can participate. So myself and my city manager got on a plane for one day and flew to Miami. We sat down with a group of people. Actually, the only two, the three cities there were the town of Apple Valley, and I should say town of Apple Valley. I want to make sure everybody's clear on that fact.
Yes.
City of Palmdale and the city of Lake, the only three, along with our then very good first district supervisor, Robbie Livingood, a very dear friend of mine, who traveled to Miami and who were interested and saw the potential of what this train would do. So we spent a day, we actually got to ride the train. We spent a day looking at all their plans and their visions, this young group. And interesting about this young group of about a half dozen people, there are only a couple that are railroad people. The most of them are from the entertainment world, Disney, Hilton. They're really all about, it's not your grandfather's train ticket where you'd get in, you get a seat, you got the luggage, you went from point A to point B. This is actually almost like a destination. It is so, there are so many services, they call them their premium services on the train. But it's just, I remember when we left the train station in Miami, all the employees came out and waved at you.
Wow. And, so this is an experience.
It is an experience.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
okay.
And just on that note, some of the trains that they're looking at in the future are Elvis trains. of course,
okay,
Raider trains that'll go for sporting events from here to from Southern California up to there.
So, Art, the Bishop or the train in Orlando to Miami is open right now.
The train, yes, it was actually open in 2018.
Okay.
It's completely different. It's not the high speed train. It has multiple stops at every city going up and down between. So this was an entire new concept. High speed rail, over 189 miles before their very first stop from Vegas to Apple Valley. So I mean, this was really interesting for them to be looking at this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very innovative.
It is.
For us, even though, you know, we've all heard of the express trains, bullet trains, all of that kind of stuff, but very innovative, particularly for our area. So now you had the opportunity to go to Florida and see what they were doing, and they have now made that true connection between Miami and Orlando.
Yes.
So that. But what they're talking about doing here, while it is an experience, is a different kind of experience, because they are talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but for lack of a better way of putting it, a bullet train, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Right? Right?
How fast are we talking about here?
About 200 miles an hour. It'll, from Apple Valley to Las Vegas, it'll take about 78 minutes.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's jump in and talk about what I think is top of mind for a lot of our listeners. Now, we have heard that they already broke ground.
Yes, they did.
In Las Vegas, and that was, what, about 2 weeks ago?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And I was there, and it was a great day.
Wow. And where were you in Vegas? Is that, because that, I'm understanding it's going to be on the Strip?
It's actually right on the Strip. It's right before the casinos start on the Strip. It's right before the M. If you're coming in to Las Vegas, it's on your right-hand side. Brightline bought 111 acres, and that's where the first thing they'll build is the depot. But they also want to build retail, commercial, multifamily housing. Again, they're a development company in Miami. They've actually built apartments in and around the train station for people that commute, use the train every single day.
Wow.
So they have this completely different vision that we normally look at in transportation. And this is a private company. This is not the state of California or the state of Nevada.
Yes.
This is a private company with young people who really have a vision and want to make it work.
Yeah, and I'm that's why I use the word innovative, because this is very innovative, because it really is more than just a train, and it is an experience that we'll have in order to get you from one destination to the other. So 2028, we should have a train that will take us from Apple Valley to Vegas in 78 minutes, right?
Actually, in 2028, Brightline's plan is to have the entire train from Rancho Cucamonga to Las Vegas complete. So you'll be able to go to from Las Vegas to Los Angeles via Brightline and Metrolink.
And Metrolink.
By the summer of 2028.
By the summer of 2028. Okay, so now let's back into that, because what does that mean for us here? You know that we're always complaining about the 15 and the construction that's going on. And so what will that look like for us?
Is the train supposed to connect to the freeway?
So the train actually runs right down the middle of I-15.
That's what I thought. So we've seen that, the construction going. Is that anything to do with Brightline, or is it something different?
It really isn't. What we're doing right now on I-15 between Victorville and Oak Hills is we're replacing all the asphalt with concrete.
Concrete.
Because we've been having a lot of problems with the weight of the heat and the weight of the trucks causing problems. So we're changing all lanes, both directions, from Bear Valley Road all the way up to Oak Hills, and removing the asphalt and putting concrete in. And that project will continue through 2025.
Okay, so through 2025, that's a project that has absolutely nothing to do with the train, but for the preservation and the safety of the roads, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and so when will we, is there an estimate of when we'll start to see construction happening for the train here in our own area.
Or also, too, Art, is the train, because I know we broke ground in Las Vegas, is it starting backwards, so from Las Vegas to our area, or are there going to be different areas where we'll see construction?
So Bright Line's philosophy was always to start in multiple locations. Please remember that even though the train station in Las Vegas, Apple Valley, of Fleet Maintenance in Apple Valley, of Roundhouse, which is where the work on the train's done, in a place called Sandy Valley or Jean, Nevada, and then, of course, in Rancho Cucamonga, the station there. And we've added, since all this design, a commuter rail station, which was required by the San Bernardino County Transportation Authority for the approval to go down the pass, which will take commuters from the high desert. About 63% of the people who work down below but live here in the high desert. So the whole idea is every morning, about four trains in the morning, four trains in the afternoon, at I-15 and Joshua Tree, like the 395 overpass area, there will be a train that'll just take people down to work in the Inland Empire.
Wow. Okay, so then
I got off track. I'm sorry.
No. And I want to. We'll get back to it. But where does Hesperia fit into this?
Okay, so Hesperia was never on the chopping block. It was never actually supposed to be a part of this whole thing. When it came, when we were supposed to go to Palmdale, and when that wasn't working out, that's where we were going to meet up with the Metrolink line. We decided, well, let's go to Rancho Cucamonga. Well, that had to take in a completely new Federal Railroad Administration environmental impact review. And at that point, San Bernardino County Transportation Authority said, wait a second, we'll give up some of our lanes. The County Transportation Authority has lanes in I-15. We'll give up some of its lanes if you will do a commuter train, because one of the problems we have are all those commuters on the road, just like you were talking about, along with the truckers. We can get these people off the road. We can improve air quality control. We can improve the drive time. And Bright Line said, we'll do it. We'll build a commuter station. It won't be a big station. It'll be about 1,500 square feet. Bright Line calls it air-conditioned area.
Okay.
But it'll actually have parking for about 340 people, plus bus routes and Uber. That can, if you live up here, you can drive your car and park it, or you can take an Uber or a bus, get on the train 40 minutes later. And believe me, it's taken me hours to get to Rancho Cucamonga sometimes.
Yes,
that's true.
You're down in Rancho Cucamonga. And then what we're trying to do on the other side is get these big boxes. I'll just use Amazon as an example, to then send a bus over, pick up their employees.
Got it.
Take them back to work. And then the same thing later, 8 hours later, 10 hours later.
So like a shuttle.
It's exactly, but on a train.
So let me ask the question then. Is that because there's a station in Hesperia, correct?
It's not part of the Las Vegas line.
It's not, and that's what I want to make clear.
It's not part of the Las Vegas line.
So it's not part of, part of that commuter line.
That's all it is.
Line.
That's all it is.
Got it. So one doesn't really have anything to do with the other, other than it's the same company.
You got it.
That's building both, right? So quality of life will improve for a number of our commuters, right?
Yeah.
And opportunities, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's the role of Hesperia, is for the commuter line, which basically serves from here to down the hill.
Rancho Cucamonga.
To Rancho Cucamonga, yeah. And then back.
And then at the Rancho Cucamonga station, they can get on to the Metrolink if they're maybe going to Redlands. Maybe they're a student at the Redlands University. They can take Bright Line down to there. They can get on the Metrolink and take the Metrolink down to Redlands or into L.A., Pasadena.
Or Cal State, San Bernardino.
Cal State. Yep.
Right. That's
anywhere
wonderful.
Anywhere the train goes to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we've got clarity on that, right? All right, we want to go back and talk about timeline, because when will we start, or when can we anticipate to start seeing construction?
So what Bright Line is looking at doing is not just starting at one point and working all the way through. They're looking at between 5 and 7 different locations throughout the whole 218 miles, which is from Las Vegas to Rancho Cucamonga,
mm-hmm.
and start construction in various areas. The main portion of the construction is going to be, there are 203 crossings. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means there's a flood control bridge that goes underneath it, or there's a rail bridge that goes underneath it. There are a lot of bridges and channels that have to be brought up to a standard so that the train can go over them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be some of the laying of the track and improving the crossings will be what they'll be working on first. The actual stations probably will come somewhere in the next 2 years because, you can build a 25,000-square-foot station, which is the size of the station in Apple Valley.
Right.
You can build that within a year without a problem at all. The main priority will be the putting the tracks down and making the improvements for the train.
And we're talking about, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Art Bishop, and we're learning all about the Brightline project. That's very exciting for our High Desert. Now, are you talking about, Art Bishop, the tracks are going to be laid next to the freeway then? That's kind of what we're talking about?
Right between the two lanes.
Okay.
Between the two lanes. Okay.
So you can drive and you can see the train. Yes.
Well, that's going to be
that's
interesting.
The plan, anyway.
And
different.
I tell you, this is the way they're going to sell tickets. My wife and I are in a car. We're stuck in traffic somewhere between here and Baker. We're not moving at all. And all of a sudden, the train goes by at 200 miles an hour. And my wife's going to turn to me and say, that's what we're taking next time.
But the only stations are going to be, is Brightline thinking about making a station in Baker or anything, or Barstow?
No, because the whole idea is that it's high speed.
I see. Okay, so it's not like you can, like you were just mentioning, I think I want to get on the train. I can't just stop off in Baker and get on the train.
No, but you can definitely drive from Baker to Apple Valley to get on the train.
Correct, or Las Vegas and then take it back to the High Desert. Okay.
Yes.
So the only stop for the actual Vegas train will be in Apple Valley. It'll be at Dell Evans and I-15.
Okay.
Brightline bought the 308 acres on the corner there right mm-hmm. by the freeway. One of the really cool things that I'm really excited about is where they're building the depot, which is actually right next to the northbound lane, to get to the medium or the center where you're going to pick up your train, there'll be a tunnel under the freeway.
Oh, wow.
And you'll go under the freeway and come up in between the lanes to get on your train.
What?
Wow.
Really cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I know kids will enjoy that. So let me ask, because again, there's so much to talk about in so little time.
I know.
So we're going to have you back to kind of give us updates and keep us abreast of what's going on. But let me talk about the impact of jobs.
Awesome.
Right? So Art, tell us what we can anticipate, because I'm seeing it kind of twofold. There's the whole construction part of this has to happen, which there will be a number of opportunities for individuals as well as local companies.
Yeah.
And I would hope that this is a company that really buys into using local, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there are going to be, now I read that there were going to be about 1,000 permanent jobs and 900 of which will be full-time. Does that sound correct?
No, that's absolutely correct. But that's between Las Vegas and Rancho Cucamonga. So it's sort of spread out.
Okay.
Apple Valley will probably have about 35 to 50 full-time jobs in the train depot.
Okay.
Those will be people that will servicing you to go on your train. The depot will have an area where you can relax, where you can eat, an area where you can get drinks in a very nice open area.
Okay.
The station in Rancho Cucamonga will be the exact same way. Again, the station in Hesperia is really just a station for people getting on and off
for
to go
commuter.
To work. But there, mm-hmm. I believe there'll be bathrooms and there'll be mm-hmm.
some amenities.
A little snack mm-hmm. type area.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vegas will be, of course, the key to the whole thing. As far as construction and timelines go, or let's talk a little bit about jobs. You're absolutely correct that we're looking at about 900 to 1,000 jobs permanently. Now, they're not going to be coming for about 4 years.
Right.
The construction jobs, we're looking at about 10,000, and Brightline has formed a number of contracts with various unions to actually do the building of all these various stations as well as the tracks. But there are also about another 30,000 jobs that will be enhanced for all the people building the product for this train line as well as for the depots for the next 4 years as well. So you're looking at eventually the 1,000 people who will have permanent jobs. You're looking at the 10,000 people that'll be working on it for the 3.5-4 years period. And you're looking at about another 30,000 jobs that'll be feeding into the actual construction. So it's a great jobs program.
Right. Now, getting prepared for that and those jobs coming to the area, what would you suggest that those who are listening to us today be prepared to do to stay aware of when these job opportunities are coming forth and how to get into the pipeline for those positions?
So you can go online and just type in Brightline West. We've actually sort of separated the company, Brightline East in Florida, Brightline West in California.
Okay.
And type in Brightline West. They have a job section, but they're not quite there yet. And you have to remember, too, that the majority of the construction's jobs are being let out to union contracts. And that was part of the agreement to be able to, it's sort of the times we're in, and to be able to receive some of the funding that they received. Those contracts have already are starting to be let as we speak.
Okay.
But those are really good, well-paying union jobs. So if you're interested in being a carpenter, electrician, laying rail track, this would be a great time to reach out to a union that might be doing that type of work, because those 10,000 jobs over the 4 years will all be union jobs.
Great. That is great information. So before we end, is there anything that we didn't talk about that we should talk about or that you think our listeners would be interested in? I will tell you that in my research, it seems that there are two women who are key executives on this Brightline board. One of them is Brightline West. She's the president.
Sarah Watterson.
Yes. And then the other is the general counsel.
Yes.
Right? I like that personally. Yeah. I like that. That speaks to diversity, right? And the innovativeness that's taking place through this company. So is there anything that we missed that you want to share that you think our listeners want to know? And we're also going to ask you for a commitment to come back as this project progresses and keep us informed as community.
Well, I'm glad to come back anytime. Regina, you and I have known each other for, I don't even remember how long. And
that's okay.
And I don't want to say because it would give away our ages and neither one of us care.
I have something, too. I know our listeners and the general public want to know, what are we looking at price-wise to go on this train? I mean, anything can change with the economy and things like that. But right now, Art, what is the price range we're looking at to get on the train from?
The fee. Ticket fees.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really interesting. And Brightline, you can go on Brightline today in Florida. Literally every other day has a sale. I just noticed a sale today, 50% off on train rides during a certain time period.
Okay.
And certain trains that they have. So, but again, the idea was we were talking about, what does it cost? They want to try to get in that range of what it would actually cost you to go to Vegas. Actually, they believe that they can reduce, I know this doesn't sound like a lot, but if they can just reduce the traffic on I-15 by 1%, which is tens of thousands of cars, the private company, they're going to be very profitable, and it's just going to grow in the future. We'll know the prices more solidly as we get closer
to
2028. I know there's been a lot of rumors, unfortunately, out there about these unbelievably high prices, but if you look at train ridership across the nation, and if not even in the world, one of the most economical ways to ride, and my wife and I do this when we're in Europe, is riding the train.
So there's a formula, though.
Yes.
And what does that formula look like? So they base it on?
They base it on what it would cost you for gas at the time, which I'm not going to try to sit here and guess what the gas would be in 2028.
We don't have a crystal ball.
They look at the gas. They look at what it would cost the valet park for 2 evenings, because most people spend 2 days, 3 days,
like
2 nights type thing.
In Vegas.
And a weekend in Vegas. So they're going to take those in, and there might be a small stipend charge for just wear and tear on the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, we were looking about somewhere between $90 and $80 to go from Apple Valley to Las Vegas. I know in my wife's car, that's just exactly what it would cost me to drive my wife Sequoia and get to Vegas, and then what it cost me to do my – and my wife always valet parks. So, I always valet park for my wife.
Right. So managing realistic expectations, the formula really is what it would cost round trip for us to drive to Vegas, and then based on a two-night stay of valet parking, yes, and then the wear and tear. That's kind of the formula.
Absolutely.
And then the truth of the matter is we really won't know until that we get to that time, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
But to help people understand, there is a formula and a rhyme or reason for that.
Yep.
Art, I want to thank you so much. This has been quite informative. I really think that our listeners are excited to receive this information and to feel like they're a little better informed about what's happening with this wonderful project that is coming to our area. And I'm excited about the commuter part of it because not only does it give an option for taking a lot of that traffic and wear and tear off the freeway, but for the whole health of our individuals, of our citizens that are here, quality of life. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's a lot safer, takes off some stress, you know, makes it a lot easier for them to get to work and get back home and be whole and healthy for their families. So thank you, and we'll look forward to having you come back and update us on this wonderful project.
Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
And take care.
Yes.
Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high deserts, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.